Staying Alive with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
This has been arranged by Rita Steele. But it's not Rita Steele, we have Cindy on the phone. Hello, Cindy.
Kia ora.
What's going on?
Oh, sunsetting.
Yeah, it was beautiful, wasn't it? I actually mentioned that to the team in here, but no one else has a window view like I do.
I live in Piha and it's all misty out here. We've had a really misty day with huge surf.
You would have views aplenty out there. So you've got a view of the ocean, and this is actually a discussion about the ocean, isn't it? You are from Chasm. Can you please explain?
Chasm is Kiwis Against Seabed Mining.
There you go.
Which is an organisation set up in about 15 years ago now to stop any exploitation of our seabed by big corporations.
Now, recently you've just had the Court of Appeal uphold a decision to quash the Trans-Tasman Resources seabed mining application because some people are looking to mine the seabed.
That's right, yep. This company called Trans-Tasman Resources was wanting to dig up and dump back on the seabed 50 million tonnes of the seabed a year for 35 years in a 66 square kilometre area out in the South Taranaki Bight, which is pretty huge. They would take about 5 million tonnes a year of that, of iron sand. So it's the black sand that we all know and love on our west coast.
Is seabed mining a done thing, or is it kind of a new development?
It's very new, and it hasn't been really done anywhere in the world on a commercial scale.
Mm.
And so this is why this company tried in 2013 to get a license. What it needs from the Environmental Protection Authority is a marine discharge license. And they applied for that in 2013, and we saw them off, and they failed. The EPA said no. And so they came back again in 2016, and 13,000 people submitted against it. We had us, we had Ngāti Rūnui, the local iwi, and Ngāraru, and a lot of fishing companies, and Chasm, and Greenpeace, and Forest of Bird, and a whole bunch of us all opposing it. But that went through, so we had to take them to the court at the High Court, and we won that.
It seems strange that seabed mining is on the cards when we know how much damage has been done to the Hauraki Gulf just from dredging alone.
Yeah.
It seems strange that they would be able to get permission to mine.
I thought, this government pass a thing where any future contracts can't be made or something? We have to honour, like, pass
Not on seabed mining, no.
Right. The other weird thing about these oil contracts is they go for, like, 50 years. Like you said, 35 years.
That's right.
It's, like,
yeah,
such
a fucking
long time.
Yeah, really long time.
What was that one for then?
This was just the first one. This one was going to be like they had mining permits, because of course the government goes and gives them mining permits, but the EPA has to give them a discharge license. But they've got permits for another 2,500 square kilometres around that area.
Hmm.
So if this one was to go ahead, then that would create a precedent that would see a lot more happening. And I mean, the South Taranaki Bight is like, we now know that there's like, it looks like we've got our own population of pygmy blue whales living in the bight.
Mm.
And they come there to carve and to feed. And this stuff this mining would send a sediment plume, the sort of plume of stuff, right across the bight. And it just hangs in the water column. So that's really bad for krill and everything that lives there, basically.
I think that's the biggest problem, and that's why it's so important to have organisations like you guys, is the fact that we're not living in amongst this area. You know, like, it's not happening right in front of you in the sense that you see it and you can, you know, like, it's not quantifiable enough for people to know about it. So it's
out of sight, out of mind. Can
you
imagine a 66 square kilometre open cast mine on land?
It's epic. Yeah, it's epic. Half a century kind of thing.
It seems like people have got a reasonable understanding now about how interconnected all these ecosystems are and how delicate they are, and it just seems crazy to give a company permission to go out and do something. You can't see the damage. So, I mean, how do you measure it? If
be so fascinating to get the bosses of these companies on, like, a lie detector and ask them what they think and just watch the needle just go, you know, like...
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know you're doing the wrong thing.
The the thing is that they didn't do their homework either. They were sent away the first time and said, look, you haven't. We don't even know what's down there. There was no. If you're going to monitor the effect of something, you need to know what's
your
down there and what the baseline
with,
data is.
Yeah.
And they hadn't even done that work. But that was. But then instead of going away and doing their homework like the EPA told them to do, they went away, they leant on the government, which then leant on the EPA that it had set up, which changed some of the rules of how they ran their decision-making committees. They put four people on it, stacked it with business people, and gave the chair, who's a pro-business person, the casting vote. And then they sort of, I think, they got really bad legal advice because they basically pushed it through. So, I mean, we were fighting this from the beginning. You could see that the DMC, the decision-making committee, was very much on the side of the company because the company had done some modelling of where this sort of sediment plume would go. And the EPA allowed them to redact 150 pages of their application because they said it was commercially sensitive. Now, we had to take them to the Environment Court to get that made public. In the early days of the whole thing, but
withholding information,
basically it's come back to bite them because I mean the Court of Appeal ruling is so strong. It talks about throughout the whole thing. It talks about there's another fundamental error of law made by the EPA, and it also says that the legislation is very clear that you can't balance and try and weigh up environmental harm against economic benefits. You can't also cause environmental harm with a promise to fix it later.
Both of which were
part of the decision. So we were. That sets a really strong precedent now.
Kick ass.
It's a very good decision.
Good stuff. Hey, how do people support Kiwis against seabed mining?
Well, you can go to our Facebook page.
Because you guys are doing great stuff. I mean, well done.
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page. Go there. We post all sorts of stuff. At the moment, it's sort of a really aim wait because we know that the company looks like it's, it may go to the Supreme Court, take this all the way. So,
wow.
But that's just more legal stuff. But, just basically go to our Facebook page, go to our website, chasm.org.nz, find out about it, tell your friends, spread the word,
It's crazy how it takes a community to sort of stop a corporation from doing crazy stuff, eh? You know, like,
totally.
Because they've got nothing but time and money, you know?
Yeah, and also right up and down the west coast of the North Island, there's no really big city on the west coast apart from New Plymouth, which is a mining town, but, you know, it's all small communities of fishermen and surfers.
Yeah.
People who love their west coast, and I know that lots of Aucklanders love Piha and Karikari and Mirawai, you know, and it's all people who love the coast who live there. So, it's a real victory for all the masses of people who really put a lot of effort into making submissions and giving us money, and it's been awesome.
Good stuff.
You pretty much fueled on donations.
Sorry?
Are you fueled by donations? I can imagine
we're
if you're going all the way.
Entirely fueled by donations. Yeah. There's a couple of people who give us a little bit more, but it's mostly. I mean, after the EPA said yes to the seabed mining, we asked for money, saying, "Can you help us?" And there were kids who emptied their piggy banks to give us money. It was so lovely. We had all these stories coming in, and people were giving all sorts from a small amount to a reasonably big amount. I'm sorry, I can't give you any more.
That's awesome, but it's sad at the same time, eh? Like, it's like,
and we raised enough money then to keep us going through these court cases, which has been absolutely fantastic. It's like, we're really standing on the shoulders of all those communities and doing this work.
Good stuff.
And should you go to the Supreme Court, that'll be fairly costly?
Yes and no. I mean, it will be reasonably costly, but we've got fantastic lawyers who are doing it pro bono for us.
Ah, awesome.
So, we're trying to keep the cost down, sort of spend the money wisely, but it's been well worth it so far. We won the High Court, we won the Court of Appeal, and, hopefully we'll win the Supreme Court and set a precedent. I mean, the company said that if this decision stands, there will be no seabed mining in New Zealand, which I'm like, yes!
Because exactly what are they trying to do? They're trying to get oil, right?
No, iron.
So what's the
iron sand?
What's the alternative? How do we we can only get their iron that's not there?
There's all sorts of. There's all sorts of iron ore mines.
Yeah. Who's asking for all this iron?
The steel mill. What was that?
Who wants all this iron? Where does it all go?
Well, I mean, that's the other thing about making steel, because it uses coal to make steel. It's right. Coal and iron ore, and so it's, like, really bad for the climate.
Is this
well.
that mill out Waiuku way? There's, like, a...
Steel. Yeah, that's right, and that's they've got a big sand mine on shore down
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's there's all sorts of ways, you know, you can recycle steel, and there's, you know, there's a lot of work being done on alternatives to
coal for making steel.
But, you know, there's wood and, you know, it's all sorts of things. I mean, you know, it's not easy, we don't think it's worth digging up the South Taranaki bites for.
Yeah, well, it sounds like no one's really having the conversation of, like, hey, is there some other way? Like, what, you know, what's the need?
Yeah, well, there's construction things, there's all, you know, there's all sorts of talk about wood. But, you know, steel, there's so much steel that can be recycled at the moment. I think the world's got something like 20 years of steel that they can recycle.
Wow, okay.
To use, you know, so, but we don't need to go, you know, just digging it up. You know, really, it's a great big experiment.
It's a lazy way to go about it.
I think we need our oceans.
Yeah, dude.
To be kept intact. There's enough threats to them already with climate change and all the rest of it.
Right on. Nice. Hey, Cindy from Kiwis Against Seabed Mining, thanks so much for giving us this chat this evening. I think it's obviously fantastic work you're doing, and all the best, and just keep it up, man.
Cheers. Kia ora.
Yo.
Bye. That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95BFM.